Hello, Zesties.
Hi, Zesties.
Josie and Mel here.
You
knew that, though.
Oh, my God. This is meant to be like a two-second thing, and it's going to become 10 minutes. But what we're going to try to say is we recorded our live shows this time.
Yes, they actually recorded, and we've decided to split them into two. So this is part one of the Sydney live show.
Hope you love it.
Look, I'm going to stop wasting everyone's time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring out the people that you have waited so patiently to see. The second ever performance of All Is Your Mystery Hour. It is Melissa Mason and Josephine Rosenberg-Clark. This is All Aussie Mystery Hour.
Oh my God, there's so many things. Hi. Oh, we can't see anyone again. This is my favourite thing when I can
like
only
an empty
see this
room.
Part of the...
A loud, empty room.
A loud, empty room, a void into Faceless the space and masses. Time.
Thanks, Hanno, for that.
I don't know what he was talking about.
I think he talked longer than I talked in the last live show.
100%.
Hard to do, trust me. I think I talked for about 3.5 hours. Mm. And then Mel, I think you coughed and that's all you got out.
Oh my God, no.
It's not happening this time. She's going first.
And I also said I'm not going to drink as much because Josie's obviously pregnant.
Oh.
And
how did I miss that?
There is a baby in there.
Yeah.
Not a burrito.
No.
And
8 months.
Yeah, maybe 10 burritos. We don't know. You could be lying to me.
And I've got cankles. I think we all know that. And as Hanno was talking for 12 hours, I was like, I really could have been elevating my feet right now, Hanno. Like, give me a warning.
So many things we could have been
doing. There's just fluid collecting here as he's speaking. Thank you. I was fishing. Mel, I think you're actually going to have to help me sit down.
I will. Do you want me to actually help you sit down? I'm actually going to help her sit down. She's not kidding. She's not making a funny. We also didn't practice this at all. Oh, you're good. Oh, you did a good job. That was really... I'm going to have to sit sideways because I'm wearing the tiniest dress of humanity, which wasn't the most brilliant life choice.
In a stool.
But do you know what? I was really inspired. Is anyone watching Heartstrings by Dolly Parton? Because I'm really like vibing it and everything to me is about...
Wow, even you need help getting into the stall.
Okay, this is offensive, but that's okay.
It's all right.
We're all going to pretend we can't see my giant nude undies, okay? cool. Well, I've got my phone here because we're timing ourselves so we don't fuck up like last time. And
that was nice of you to say we, because
I did. I put it on airplane so I don't get like weird Tinder messages that I want to ignore anyway. So... That legit happened to me once on a date. I got a Tinder message while I was on a date. It was very awkward.
But that's okay.
I was with my ex-boyfriend too, and he still dated me.
I feel like you know on a Tinder date that it's like maybe not 100% exclusive and you might still be on the app.
You might be on the app a lot.
I don't know. I never use Tinder
on a lot of apps.
Ms. Long-term relationship. Thanks for coming, everyone.
Yeah, oh my God, thank you. Thank you, void of blackness that just yells at us. It's so nice to have you here, one big black blob.
I forgot how bloody sweaty I get up here.
It's hot. This is hotter than usual. There's
it's
a lot
hot.
Of
it's
lights.
Than it was last time. Ooh,
anyway, cool. So, because we're
talk
really,
to me.
I'm going to talk to you. I'm going first. Wow. Okay. So I had this moment, which I do want to tell you guys about. It's a bit of a secret. So if anyone didn't come, they're not. Well, they will know the secret because we're going to put this up.
Yes,
on the thing, aren't we?
Hopefully, this venue records it.
Yeah.
The other one
that
didn't.
Would be great. Not
Never
that we're
again.
Bitter or anything.
Nope. I haven't brought it up 1,000 times or anything.
But I briefly last night at like 9 p.m. messaged Josie and I was like, I'm changing my mystery and I don't even want to tell you about it. And I was with my sister and I was like, Kate, oh my God. Kate's here somewhere, by the way. I don't know where she is.
Kate.
I can't. Is she filming me?
She is
that her filming me? No, that's Amy, my other sister who isn't actually my sister but is basically my sister. Anyway, so I was like, the eels at Centennial Park go. They literally migrate to New Caledonia. I'm not going to tell you anymore because I want to do an episode
yeah,
on it.
Do
it's
it.
So fucking bizarre and doesn't make any sense. And
I'm
eels
intrigued.
Are fucked and it made them even more fucked.
Yeah, we don't like eels. You know that we don't like eels.
We hate anything that's in the water. The water. Yeah. I would like someone to just electrically, You know, like my mum is Greek and she told me that in Greece they were like putting electric prods in the water to kill all the fish to catch them. Oh. And then they had this massive fish shortage. And they were like, I wonder why. Maybe it's because we're electrocuting all the fish.
You killed like literally 2,000 fish to catch five. Great.
It's not very, very Greek, economical. It's very Greek energy, to be honest.
It's a little lazy. I like it.
They're the thinkers, the Greeks. I can say that because I'm part Greek. Anyway, no, I'm not doing that. I went back to my original idea.
You pivoted back.
Segued back over. Little.
I was glad at 9 p.m. you don't really want to hear that from your co-host. Like, oh, my God, I'm changing it. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Because I've, like, heavily researched some really boring, serious case. And I'm like, what's she going to come out with? She's like, the eels. And I'm like, please don't do the eels. And she didn't.
I didn't. I'm doing the Sydney Harbour Bridge. That makes no sense to you yet.
What's
gonna
the
be
mystery?
A surprise, obviously. I've got credits, which I'm actually going to go through because we do our credits now, don't we?
We've
always done our credits. We never learned from another podcast to do our credits. We did not. Like, that never happened. No.
Got roasted online.
So Sydney Harbour Bridge, something educational site. I don't know. Whatever.
great crediting.
Woo! This is like some, I learned this in fucking uni, guys. This is why I...
Correct attribution.
...got 51% uni.
Please get your degrees, as my brother would always say.
The Sydney Morning Herald, an article by John Huxley. The Daily Telegraph, an article by Gillian McNally. The Daily Telegraph, an article by Jim O'Rourke. They really love the Sydney Harbour Bridge over there. They
you sound like you're reading Oscar nominations.
Don't I?
Yeah.
Townsville Daily Bulletin, 1935. No author.
Oh.
I was just putting on my voice.
1935, they didn't credit journalists back then.
Back in the oldie times. Time Out, Claire Finneran. Australian Geographic, Angela Heathcote. Moveoutmates.com.au. No credit. And my favourite, eastcoastcarrentals.com.au.
Doing over there?
I don't fucking know.
Writing about
why
the
are all the
cars?
It's always the car rentals.
It is. They've got like content creators.
What was the other podcast episode where we had like a car rental site?
It was like a truck.
Oh, it was the Pilbara. Not the Pilbara. Sorry, the Pilliger.
Yes.
I actually said the Pilbara right there.
Correctly.
Did you see that? I'm learning. And no one here is from the Pilbara, so they're like, I don't give a shit.
you know
wish
what we mean.
Someone came from the Pilbara. Where's our, like, trucky friends?
We have to go to WA.
We have to go out there and there'll be, like, one person
in a pub. Pedestrian, please fund a trip to Perth.
Thank you. I'm just staring into the void. I don't know who's there from Pedestrian. Anyway, so let's get into it. 5 whole minutes into my, like, 30-minute time slot.
Is it 30 minutes?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm
something.
Fucked.
Okay, so the Sydney Harbour Bridge, in case you didn't know, which I'm really just saying for the people listening to this from America.
Oh, yeah, because this is going
Englandio
online.
And
yeah.
Brazilio and
yeah.
Denmark. What's the other one?
Canada?
Oh, Denmark, what?
That was really weird.
That was just a random thing that I said. That was like a real like moment, like a spiritual moment then.
Canada.
I don't know.
Texas.
Portugal. Texas. Texas is not a country. It
now
may
I'm
as well be. It's
things.
Huge. It's so big. Mm. Anyway, so the Sydney Harbour Bridge, it's a steel heritage listed bridge that carries trains, bikes, vehicles and pedestrians between the CBD and the North Shore. So for anyone listening who doesn't know, you all know, but just geographical Mel for a sec.
Uh-oh.
So we got Sydney. So we got like the city. Thank you. So we got the city and then there's like out west.
Yes.
And then west and up a bit is the Blue Mountains, which is where the Lithgow Panther lives.
Yeah.
And then we've got the east, which is where I live. And you live.
And me.
I'm not telling you anymore in case anyone's trying to murder us.
No specific suburbs.
No specific suburbs. Don't know where I live. And then there's south, which we're not going to talk about.
Why?
Well, just because
Heno
lives
there.
Yeah. And then there's the north. And I don't really know why we wanted to connect them.
Oh. Sorry.
I'm actually pretty sure Rach is here and she's from the north and she's probably like, why the fuck am I here? She is here. Anyway, that was just an in-joke because I just never go there. When I've been there, it's like I'm on a little holiday. Like this is like a little vacation for the weekend.
The northern beaches or the North
just
Shore?
Just anything over there.
Because they're very different.
Beyond, I know. But
northern beaches
all
is like...
Yeah.
And then North Shore is like, North Shore.
The North Shore. Cow oh, now
brown cow. That yeah. vibe.
Different. Very, very different, but yet all didn't need to be connected,
no,
in my
so
opinion.
Far away.
We could have just left you
in
over
a separate
there.
Place.
So, but yes, anyway, so we joined them up. Mm. It's the sixth longest spanning arch bridge in the world and
that's
the tallest
impressive.
Steel arch bridge in the world. They're very specific. I mean, that's like saying, like, I won, like, a spelling bee for one particular word, you know? Like,
yeah, okay, I don't know a lot about bridges.
Neither.
I thought they were all the same.
But obviously it's very iconic and yeah. I'm just going to drop that there.
Can I have it? I'm so
You can
hot.
Have it. But it has a dark past, Josie. You just ruined my, like, moody.
I'm sorry. I'm so happy.
With your fanning of your face.
I'm so happy about this dark past. Like, I was already a sweaty bitch, but being pregnant in summer.
Pregnant plus lights
hell.
Plus summer.
I'm dripping
it's not
here.
A, it's not a
I might take my dress
vibe.
Off. It's all right, I've got sensible
Now it's Magic Mike XXL
on.
Up here, guys, but with two women and one is pregnant.
Sorry to interrupt you. Tell
and
me about the
wearing giant nude undies. It's going to be a real time, guys. Glad you paid your money for it. Anyway, so people wanted to build a bridge as early on as the convict times. And in 1815, an actual convict, who was also a noted architect. I'm so intrigued by what he did.
Yeah.
Like, what did you do?
Oh, it's always like they looked sideways
yeah.
at a...
Cop.
Cat and oh. it's like off you go to Australia, you steal like one grain of rice, go to Australia.
Off
it
you
was
go.
Like any excuse really yep. and like jokes on them, it's great down here.
Yeah, I know. Definitely wasn't horrible, not at all.
It was like a holiday for them at Port Arthur.
That's what I've heard. That's what school taught me, so I don't know. Anyway, so his name was Francis Greenway and he's all, we should build a bridge.
I've
and
heard of him.
I have never heard okay. of him. But, I mean, I love that you've heard of him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, a fan. A fan
oh
with a
God.
Fan.
I can't get up.
And her shirt says mouth noises. Oh, my God, her shirt says mouth noises. I don't know if you can see that. It's the most greatest thing I've ever seen.
How am I going to get it?
I will get it,
Such
even though,
pickle.
Hang on.
What will I do? Can I possibly do? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, fan with a fan. I'm so hot. Thank you.
I love it.
I love you. Oh, my God. They have mouth noises written on their
It's
shirts.
The greatest thing I've ever seen. I love it. I love it. Anyway, so he's like, we should build a bridge. And he
yes.
wrote to the Australian and he's like, he says, it will give an idea of strength and magnificence that would reflect credit and glory on the colony and the mother country, which sounds a lot to me like, give me a lot of money, guys,
yes.
and make me not a convict.
Yes.
Thank you.
Make me a noted architect, not yeah. a fucking bread-stealing heathen.
And, yeah, so no one wanted to make the bread-stealing heathen a citizen, and they didn't pick up what he's putting down. The idea was benched. But then in 1857, an engineer called Peter Henderson wanted to make a floating bridge. And then, so I was like, oh, that must not sound what it sounds like. It is what it sounds
so
like.
It's
the dumbest fucking idea I've ever heard of.
It's on the water.
Yes.
I hate that.
It's literally just a bunch of shit joined together and they're like, drive cars over it.
And then
you're
kind of like driving and you're like, ugh. It's like when you stand up paddleboarding, yep. but in a car.
Yes.
Going to the North Shore. No. That's the dumbest idea ever. The heathen had a better idea.
I know. They should have just gone with the convict.
Yeah.
Anyway. So that was kind of like put to the side. There was talk of a truss bridge, which is like, I Googled
oh
it. Okay.
God. Engineering Mel. What is this?
I don't know why I always pick stories that have a lot of deep technical
yeah.
things to do with them. But it was like, it looks like a normal road and then they've just put heaps of triangles on it for no reason. Like,
just, how does it stay up?
Just put as much shit above it as you can. Done. Love it. Good vibe.
Drive to North
and
Sydney.
Drive yourself over there. But anyway, so no one did that. And then around World War One was when it really came into like a thing.
Okay. They were finally
had
like,
a bit of,
let's
a bit
do
too much
this
wine.
Bridge shit.
They were like, let's do this bridge shit.
Let's join these places.
Let's
once
join
and for
it.
All.
Let's join these motherfuckers. Anyway, so 1914, John Bradfield was given the title of Chief Engineer of Sydney Harbour Bridge and Metropolitan Railway Construction, which sounds very much like a fake job to me.
Yeah.
It just sounds like just be like the chief engineer of Sydney. Like,
yeah, I also feel bad for the convict. I don't know, my heart.
You're really back there, are you?
He had the idea first,
like half a page ago.
I know, it's like on the fan ago. I just feel bad for him. He gets none of the glory.
He doesn't. So he's known as the father of the bridge because he put a lot of work into it. I know, no glory at all. I know. I was like, I've got a. What are the, what's that movie? And they're like the Sula. The Sula. It's no. What's the movie though? Love Child, Wild Child with Emma Roberts. They're so useful.
Oh, they are. I only watch movies where people get murdered. Does anyone die in that movie? Does Emma Roberts die?
No one
I don't
dies.
Like her. I'd
it's
watch
disappointing.
That.
Anyway, oh, she does jump off the rock thing. That was cool. Oh, anyway, okay. This is such a stale. What is this? You don't even know the movie.
Stale movie hour, and I'm not going to watch it.
Stale movie hour. Anyway, so he wanted to build this thing called a cantilever bridge, which was made with cantilevers, I think. I didn't look that one up.
Are there any engineers here that are just like, for fuck's sake?
I know. You're like, why did I come? You've come with a friend.
Talk about the eels, for God's sake.
Please, please segue to the eels
the
immediately.
The eel specialist is like, no, no. Stick with the engineering.
But then World War One happened, obviously, and they put the money into the war effort, which is good, obviously. And then, but after World War One, the plans came back with a vengeance, and John went overseas to investigate tenders, which sounds like taking the piss to me, if I may say so. I'm just going to go...
This is a stitch-up.
It's a fucking stitch-up. Yeah. He's got a fake job.
Yeah, which he stole from a nice
convict. And now he's just gallivanting around the world.
Yeah.
Just looking at tenders. I'm just going to go to the Bahamas. I heard there's a good tender there.
Got his feet up, sipping a cocktail. I hate him.
So he comes back...
And I'll put my feet up. Maybe in the second half.
You're like, please let me put my feet up.
I'll lie on the ground with my feet on this stool and just talk to you upside down.
I'd be here for it, to be honest. I think that everyone would be
so
here
supportive.
For it. So he comes back and all he really has is that he thinks a single arch bridge would be best.
Mate,
that's literally...
That's all... Isn't that what my friend the convict said?
No, your friend the convict just said we should build a bridge.
Yeah, great idea. So we can all agree with that.
He was all detail.
Yeah, right. You know? So he spent time overseas just to come back with this idea.
Yeah.
That it would look like this, basically.
Yeah. He's like... He probably had the idea like on the boat on the way back. He's probably like, fuck, I've really got to come back with an idea
quick. He's fanning himself in the Bahamas. He's like, fuck, I need a shape for this. Okay, that'll do. Another Mai Tai, please, good sir. I don't like this guy at all.
So he based the design on New York City's Hell's Gate Bridge, and 20 proposals were received, including this absolutely batshit one, which we're going to put up here. No, that's our bridge.
That's the
also batshit. Also, there we go. So this, let me explain this to you because I literally was like, do someone on acid when they thought of this. So it's meant to be connecting to Ball's Head, Milsons Point and Balmain with a hub on Goat Island.
Can you imagine if that existed now with Sydney traffic? You'd be on that thing for 7 hours.
And like what happens in the middle? You just go round and round until you die?
Justin Hems has a restaurant in the middle. You just pop out.
Just have a meal, guys. Come in to have a meal.
Oh, my God.
He really knows how to cash in on things,
you know?
I can't
believe that was almost there.
I know. It looks cool, though, but, like, absolutely, like, I would...
Impractical.
Whew. Anyway. What was it? Oh, yeah, okay. So train tracks were put in, like, were put into the plans to coincide. This is literally just for my dad. I don't even know where he is. They were just put in to coincide with the city. My dad is, like, literally obsessed with trains. And at their, so that we just had their 40th wedding anniversary.
Jeez.
Anyway, we just had their 40th wedding anniversary and I was like 400 shots slash drinks slash who knows what deep. And then I'm like, I'm going to make a speech. And then I got up and told everyone about the time when he was unemployed. And then he, Like, this is like all his friends, like this is everyone, people he used to work with. And I was like, and once Dad was unemployed and he was setting up his train lines, like his little toy trains, and then I was like playing with them with him, and Mum was like coming in being like, oh, your dad needs to do some work now. But really what she was being was like, get the fuck out of here. Dad needs to find a fucking job right now.
Don't encourage this train building. Don't encourage procrastination.
Yeah. Sorry, Dad, I did it again. Anyway.
Now the whole world knows about it.
Now everyone knows. The whole
Texas. People in Texas are listening.
Texas knows.
They know.
Anyway, so they put in the train tracks because they forward thought and they were like, we've got the city circle going in, we'll put some train tracks. And then the trams used a set on the other side, the trams, wherever you are. And I literally wrote Dad in brackets. Until they were discontinued in the 50s, which Dad loves to bring up constantly.
Yes, so
because now
I.
They've made them again.
Waste of fucking time.
I know. Oh, the trams. And I don't know where he is. He's not even talking because he doesn't want you to know where he is.
I'm looking at him. He's the only person I can see.
Oh, I can
it's
see
like
him.
A beam of light on him. He's like a beacon to me in the crowd.
Anyway, so the things are underway, and yes. Bradfield goes from being Mr. Oh, cantilever bridges are best. What? I've missed a bit.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. So a guy called I'm reading upside down right now.
Dorman.
A guy called Dorman Long was signed on to design the bridge. And then from here, Bradfield was more of an overseer, and he just kind of visited and left and whatever. And
what a life, huh?
Yeah, and so he went from being all cantilever bridge guy to, this was all my design idea. And like, obviously he did come back with the idea to make it like Hell's Gate Bridge, but he didn't actually come up with the design of the bridge.
He just went on a trip and came back with like a grain of an idea.
I know.
Dorman did the designing.
He did, and then he got the shits, obviously.
Good.
And it literally got to the point, this like spicy little tiff that they had got to the point where Dorman tightly, and I put that in quotes because wherever I read it from said tightly.
Yeah.
Bolted a brass plaque to one of the bridge columns, which is, we have a picture of it because it's still there today. So that was literally because Dorman was like, fuck you. Stop taking credit for my bridge, bitch.
That's what it says. If you can't read it, that's what it says.
If you can't read that, that's literally word for word what it says. Anyway, so there was an official ceremony to mark the first turning of the sod on the 28th of July, 1923. I looked this up. There's nothing called a sod. It's just, you know, like builders make up shit.
Yes.
Like they love like fake words and then they tell you them when they come to build your house and you're like, yes. And then they're like, that'll cost $5,000,000.
Oh, they just want to confuse you.
And it'll take us 40 million years to make it. And we'll turn up when we feel like it. No, I'm kidding. I love you all builders. I don't know anything about building. I've never had anything built.
In the construction industry. And
I live at home. I don't even know anything about shit, really.
So a sod was just not a thing.
A sod was nothing. It was just basically like this term that they would use for starting a building project.
Right. Okay.
Or it means earth, as someone just told me in the crowd.
Isn't it also like an insult? Like, you fucking sod.
So it's like you're
dirty sod. That's an insult.
It's not very insulting if it just means earth. call me a sod all the time. anyway, so there's all this technical stuff about building the bridge, like there's cranes and there's the turnings and things, and I got really bored.
Yeah.
It's kind of irrelevant. I'll give you a little bit, like, but also we're not a construction podcast, so I don't know what you expected from me.
Awkwardly, my case is also about construction. They're laughing, but it actually is. So this is now all Aussie construction hour, which my friend George will be thrilled about. The industry is in. He can relate to this.
Yeah, it's like we're going to attract all these construction people and then they'll hate
me
for
thing.
Ripping in on builders and then they'll leave and start their own construction podcasts.
Mm,
and we'll have started a whole business out of this, which we'll get no credit for, just like Dorman.
At least we can put salty signs up all over Sydney.
We'll just put salty signs everywhere. We started the construction podcast trend, guys. So I'll tell you the basics. So they made these two abutment towers. It's like a term for some sort of holding thingy that holds things and like stops it from going to shit, you know? Doing well here, aren't I? then they had these two creeper cranes that went on each side, which we're going to show you a picture first. So this is one of them. What the fuck is that? That does not look like it works.
That looks like it's falling.
It's not falling. I double checked. I thought, was this part of like some sort of accident that happened or like, I don't know. It's not. That's just what it looked like. It just is a pile of shit. And they were like, yeah, this is cool. People can go on this. This is fine. And then if you go to the next one, you'll see them. That's them connecting the bridge. So they actually went up the sides of each. It's pretty ingenious, like once they stopped looking like a pile of shit.
Yes.
It was like, okay, this is pretty impressive for the 30s, you know.
Yeah, old-timey times.
Old-timeys. They knew what they were doing a little bit. So they're called creeper cranes, and they each went up each side, and then they eventually joined up at the top. And that happened 19th of August, 1930, 7 years after they started.
So it took 7 years to get to this point.
Yeah, yeah. And 79% of the steel was preformed in England, and then in workshops in Milsons Point, where Luna Park is now, they fabricated it into girders. I don't know. I just wanted to give you some more information. Yeah. I'm just saying words here, guys. I don't fucking know. The arch alone weighs 39,000 tons, which is not right.
You know that I hate when things are heavy. How is it staying up? It's like a plane. How is that staying up?
Why are you up there?
I'm not driving over that ever again.
It's not
meant to be there.
I'll fucking
swim across there. I don't care.
I feel like it just needs a pole in the middle. Like, I just want a pole in the middle. One pole in the middle, I'm good. You know, like, I'll be happy about it. I'll drive over you if you've got a pole. What's happening? Did I say something?
It sounded sexual.
It sounded sexual? Did it?
Yeah.
That's a very long reach, guys. That's like a reach and a half.
I thought I was the only hormonal one here.
Anyway. So it was all finished on the 15th of January, 1932. And after some load testing and all this boring shit again that I didn't care about, it was formally opened on the 19th of March of the same year, and Premier Jack Lang, hot name.
Yeah, he sounds hot.
Hot name.
Jack Lang.
All like one syllable.
Yeah, boom, boom.
It's like, I'm an action hero and I'm also the Premier of New South Wales. You know, but yeah. I don't think he was. I didn't even have a picture of him. I should have. Didn't think of it at the time.
Just a bridge.
We can put it up for, what is it, Mystery Hottie Thursdays?
Yeah, Mystery
which
Hottie.
Which we've been really Jack shit Lang. At, but we're going to get back into it. If anyone follows us on Instagram, we put up a hot person
at
that's
all
related.
Aussie Mystery, our all one word. Yes. Go there now. Stop listening to us. Get your phones out. No, that's not right.
Terrible idea.
That's the opposite of what hosts usually say to do.
So he was meant to cut the ribbon at the southern end, and you might know this story because I knew this story, but just as he was about to, this dude in a military uniform just rides up on a horse and slashes the ribbon with a sword.
Now that guy's hot.
Well, I do have a picture of him. Here he comes. Here he comes. Who's doing it? Henno, isn't
it? Henno?
Oh, there we go. Henno. He's not hot.
Oh, he's just
I mean,
weird.
He could be hot in a you know the guy in The Crown that everyone's in the group talking about at the moment?
Tobias Menzies.
Tobias Menzies. Like, you know how he's polarizing? Like, some people think he's hot?
Yes.
Like, he's that vibe to me.
Yeah, but I thought he was doing it, like, in an official hot capacity.
No,
he's just
no.
doing it in, like, a weirdo.
Yes.
Attention seeking
yeah,
capacity.
Yeah, it wasn't a stunt. It was a stunt, but it wasn't a legal stunt.
Right.
You know? Like he just went rogue.
Maybe it was the disgruntled convict who thought of this whole fucking thing in the first place.
Oh, but I love that theory.
Having his moment in the sun.
I mean, I think he'd That's be 4,000 years old by then, but you know. That was in the like he would have been like 90.
Well, like,
could he
kept
get
himself
on a horse?
Fit
he was the
for this
horse
occasion.
By then. Anyway, that didn't even make sense, did it? I mean, I just realised that made no sense.
That's all right. This podcast doesn't make sense.
You know when you say
sense.
A joke and you're like,
we've had three
oh,
seasons,
man. But then usually
of
it's
this.
Just because you're drunk with your friends and they just like let it slide. But then you're here and everyone hears it,
and then it's recorded
it's
and hopefully
for me.
And put out to the world. It's all right.
Anyway,
we'll edit it out.
Let's go past it. That's Francis de Groot.
Yes,
the sort of hot, not hot, not maybe hot. Not hot guy.
Weird.
Anyway, he was a member of a right-wing paramilitary group.
Not hot.
Not hot.
Not hot.
Not hot. It was called the New Guard, and they didn't like Lang or his party for their left-wing policies. And they also were pissed because the royal family didn't come out to open the bridge.
Well, I mean,
I'm a little bit annoyed that they didn't.
It's kind of like the biggest bridge that we have. Like, it's a pretty big deal.
I get that part a little bit.
Like,
also because I'm watching The Crown and I just love them right now. I know that there's a whole other side to them and I'm just buying straight into that, like, Hallmark shit.
Yeah.
I don't even care. I love it right now.
But, like, they didn't come and open the bridge. That's pretty rude.
I know. Like, they didn't, like, sail for, like, 4,000 years to get here to do it. Rude. Anyway, he was convicted of offensive behaviour and fined £5 after a psych test proved he was sane. But then the verdict was reversed on appeal and then he sued the Commissioner of Police for wrongful arrest and was awarded an out-of-court settlement. So, you know, like, as much as I don't like him, that's some real strong energy there from him.
Yeah, like they had to pay him for, like, breaking the law.
Yeah, which is wild.
How the fuck did that happen?
I don't know. Anyway, so in the year of the opening, there was also a steep rise of babies named Archie and Bridget in honour of the bridge. I'm just saying, if you want to honour this moment with me.
If you want to be named Archie, kick now. No, nothing. Not into it.
It's not even creative, Archie.
Archie, what the Bridget. Fuck? That's funny though, right?
Bridget's funny. Bridget's funny. There were also, oh my God, I forgot about this. There were 3 songs written about the bridge and I have put one here, which means I have to turn my phone back on. Oh no.
And now
alarming.
We're not going to know how long you're talking for.
Alarming.
We'll be here till fucking
we'll be
Sunday.
Here forever. And I've got to go in here and I've got to click a thing and
we've
oh,
got,
fuck.
Like, meetings
anyway,
tomorrow.
So there were 3 songs written by the about the bridge, which is wild. One was called The Bridge Two-Step, which had a dance.
Oh, cute.
That's so weird. And then this one, I was like, oh, look, I've got an actual song. Like, I can play it and I'm going to do it really shittily and play it through, like, literally this way. I'll fast forward.
Oh, no.
That didn't work.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
It's a technical problem. Oh, God, I'm so embarrassed. Just do it.
Should I tell a story?
Okay.
Are there words?
The people in the street hear the tramping of the feet. Today's a holiday.
Oh, I like it.
Flags are flying everywhere. Carnival is in the air.
That's enough. Anyway, what a banger. Yeah, right? You're clapping like I sang and like all I did was like open my whatever it is inbox and I don't know what I have a text. Anyway, I'm going to put that back.
No, flight mode.
Flight mode, time a thing. There we are. Okay. Anyway, so that was a song. That didn't work, did it? It didn't work like when I did the bird noise in that episode.
That was very different. That was terrifying.
That was so nice. Scary. Blah, blah, blah. So obviously the whole process of the bridge, controversy and spice everywhere.
Yes.
But the most controversial thing about the bridge has to be the treatment of the workers. This is not the not so spicy bit.
Why am I grinning? I'm such a psychopath.
I know. You're like, yes, give
here
me
we
the
are.
Bad treatment of workers.
Humans.
So about 2,500 to 3,000 people worked on the bridge. Drillers, riveters, stonemasons, plasterers and gangers, which is this ye olde term for labourers.
Gangers.
It wasn't me making a sexual joke unintentionally again. Conditions weren't great. It was all very like depression era slash, you know, early stages of building shit. Whatever. It was a very like
industrial
a spicy laissez-faire attitude, you know?
Yeah,
like
right.
Woo, let's just like freeball
yes,
it and see
no
what happens.
Like, say, no OHS.
No OHS
was happening
at
there.
All. None.
Not even a bit.
Like there was a term called riding the hook where workers would literally ride the crane hook out into the air with no safety harness.
Oh,
just ride it out.
I'm
they're
so
like,
stressed.
Oh, Bill needs you to pass the rivet to... And can you just swing out and pass, just throw it at him.
They're just like...
just like... Well, literally, because also riveters commonly threw red-hot rivets.
No!
So a rivet is like this big, like it's like a bolt. It looks like a bolt, essentially. So they would just throw that at each other. Like they'd burn it up in some sort of fire thing. And then they would just chuck the hot one at someone else, who at least was wearing gloves, thank God.
Oh, there's something. Little bit of OHS.
And they caught them in a steel bucket...
Oh, my God.
Without eye protection. It's just fucking insane. Anyway, also they were like, the rivets were then like, they bolted them in with something called a hydraulic rivet presser, which sounds fake. And they, no eye protection again, no ear protection. And then all these people went deaf because they were like doing this all day. Yeah. There's 6 million rivets in that fucking thing. Oh, fuck. Anyway, it's insane. Like there's pics. I've got some pics to come through of some like, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh my god, they're so high
immediately
up.
Hold onto a surface and cry.
Just casually hammering away. Like
it's so not okay. There's another one. Yep, this guy hanging out.
Oh my
I'm just
gosh.
Having a good time, guys.
I'm gonna.
I'm
throw
fine.
Up.
Everything's fine.
That's
it's so fine.
Anxiety.
I know that gives me hives. Anyway, I don't like it. Also, if they were just high up there, they would just eat their meals up there. Just eat their meals just sitting around in the elements.
Doll, it's your lunch break. Go for a walk.
Well, I mean, how do you get...
go down to the post office.
Just slide down
get your admin done.
And if the weather was fucked, they just had to deal with it. So if it was rainy, then the steel was, like, slippery. It wasn't a good time. It was not a good time. Anyway, at the end of each day, they then had to clamber down the steel beams, so like down those essentially, from the arch points where they then jumped into large boxes suspended on a crane rope and then were lowered down. I'm not fucking with you. This is real from Wikipedia.
My God. Facts only.
Facts only out
Facts
here.
Facts only.
Also, Wikipedia keeps being like, it keeps giving me those ads. It's like, you use Wikipedia a lot. Do you want to donate? I actually should donate because we do use them a lot.
I always feel bad, so I give them like
$2. We do. Anyway, yeah, so then they jumped down. That was insane. Men wore sand shoes and overalls, which needed replacing every few months because of how insane the climbing and everything was. They had no safety gear. And if you're an engineer, you sometimes worked in these weird, like, type. They had like these cord metal, they were like metal tubes that had cords in them. I don't really understand, but it was very hot in there.
Yes.
Obviously, not fun.
I can relate right now.
I live inside a metal cord all my life right now.
Do legs even have sweat glands? Because my leg is sweating. Just one leg.
They do
it's
now.
Really weird.
So during the construction, 16 men died of bridge related.
Oh, no.
Deaths, but only two fell. So you think I feel like the rumor is that all these people fell off the bridge and they actually didn't.
They were just getting red hot rivets tossed at their brains.
Yeah,
just straight through the eye.
Fine. And it's pretty shitty because when they finished the bridge and the bridge was opened, Jack Lang didn't mention their deaths at all.
Jack, come on. We were rooting
really
for you,
shit.
Jack.
I know.
We thought you were hot.
But then the Minister of Public Works had to make mention and all he said was that the momentous day was tinged with regret, which isn't, I just think we could have put some names.
It's not a lot. Like you could have, you know, admitted that maybe harnesses should have been a thing.
Maybe.
But
yeah.
No, it's just a tinge. Just a tinge.
Just a little.
A little tiny.
It's fine
baby
though.
Baby tinge of regret.
Yeah, but let's just celebrate.
Yay, let's write 400 songs.
Let's do it. Let's do the bridge dance.
The two step.
So one guy actually survived a fall, Boilermaker Victor Roy Kelly. And according to some weird pylon pamphlet that I found online, it's literally like a pamphlet that they like stick in the pylon. Like you know, that like you go up and look. Anyway,
yes.
I don't know how I found it, but I did. He was one of only two men who survived a fall in the water. Obviously, the two people, Mel, you've not reread this as you were writing it. and the story is that he slipped and fell from the road deck level, which is like 60 metres above water. So that's pretty fucking high. But when he fell, he still had his work tools around his waist. And then it said that as he got closer to the water, he undid the tool belt, dropped it first, and it broke the water.
So
then when he hit it, he didn't die. What a fucking genius.
That is so
smart. I would
smart.
Not think of that.
I would just scream.
I know, yeah. Let's clap the dead guy.
Victor.
He's dead now, obviously, but like he didn't die then. That's the point.
That's so smart.
I was so mean. I wish I just clapped him and I need to bring out that he's already dead. Sorry, Victor. So he was pulled out of the water. It was still pretty fucked. The soles of his boots were implanted onto the base of his feet. The tops of his boots were around his thighs. He had 6 broken ribs, but he was back at work in 6 weeks.
Oh. Just swinging from a box,
he's
whatever
like,
the fuck
he's like, can't
doing.
Feel my feet, but I'm good.
Here I am.
Here I am. I'm swinging out. Swinging out
eating my peanut butter bread roll for lunch. Bless him.
He did get a gold medallion to mark his survival. And he told the Sydney Morning Herald in 1930, he said, "I'm often working near the edge of the bridge and on many occasions I've thought to myself, now, if you ever fall, Roy, you'd better make sure that you hit the water feet first or head first. So when I slipped and fell today, I concentrated on saving my life." So, I mean, I'm glad he didn't go head first. I don't think that works.
No.
That's not how it works.
Don't use your head to break your fall, mate.
Smart.
Also, is that a little bit of, like, victim blaming to the others?
I mean, a bit.
Like, I was smart. Yeah. Sorry about those.
Sorry. Anyway, but finally getting to the mystery after 100 years, literally. Woo!
Mystery.
So the most intriguing part is a conspiracy that, in fact, two other men died who were never documented.
It's a cover-up.
I love this energy,
a government
this gasping
one.
Energy.
Our favourite type of cover-up.
So you might have noticed there's those huge pylons at the end of the bridge on either side. I don't think I have a picture of it. I do have a picture. Picture, please. There it is. That thing. That's a pylon. Who didn't know that? Probably me, to be honest.
I didn't know what
that was.
We don't
know. So they're just decoration. They're not for any reason. They basically cover those abutments that I was talking about. They're 89 metres high and they are really just there to give visual balance to the bridge. Anyway, the story goes, according to East Coast Car Rentals...
They know where it's at.
They know where it's at. Where I go to for all my factual information, guys.
And all of her car rentals. They don't sponsor this podcast.
Imagine if they did and they just like, we could get someone to sponsor and just be like, just put a story up. Just write this story and we'll just mention it.
And maybe
a few
on
times.
The off chance, it'll be heard in Texas.
Do you know they connected it very loosely by being like, you can rent a car with us and drive to these places? Because it was one of those like eight mysterious things in Sydney. And I was like, this doesn't... What? Okay, guys. Anyway, apparently three contractors...
Contractors.
It wouldn't be this podcast if I didn't fuck up a word, right?
A really obvious one.
We're working on the bridge and they were travelling contractors, not Australian citizens with families or friends that would notice if they went missing.
Mm-hmm.
So in a horrible accident, they fell into one of the pylons and their deaths were hushed up. And their bodies were just entombed in there.
No.
So I think, I know. I think what essentially happened was they were entombed in there and then people realised what had happened.
Yeah, they just saw like a hand.
Yeah, because then not like that. Not like
They're
a
like,
hand
quick,
print.
Put another brick on top of there.
Just la la la,
no
that's
one
not happening.
It. La 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 la. What a beautiful pylon. It gives such visual balance to the bridge. Let's go on our lunch break. We don't take lunch break. Shut up. We're going.
But I read another story that they went in there to have their lunch out of the sun and were sealed in accidentally.
Oh, my God.
Which is a way more fucked story, obviously. but, like, while they were made just for looks originally, they're actually all in use now. So essentially, one, the Southeastern is a museum and tourist centre, which is where that pylon information booklet came from. The Southwestern is used by the RTA, and the two on the North Shore have venting chimneys for fumes from the Sydney Harbour Tunnel, which is alarming to me, but anyway. So if people were sealed inside them, it's like someone would have found them.
Or they're haunting the museum.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, that also could be a thing, yeah, sure.
Let's go there at night and see.
But the whole thing is that essentially people could have, like, covered it up even in the whenever they started using the pylons. I mean, if they don't want to talk about it.
Well, they're not going to suddenly admit it, are they?
No.
After going to all that trouble.
It's embarrassing. Anyway, I also found this story in the Townsville Bulletin, which said, this is from like the 30s. So it said, mistakenly identified and then buried as unknown, the body of the man who fell 140 feet inside one of the northern pylons of the Sydney Harbour Bridge on August 18 has been blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the point being.
I was really invested you're really in like, that I was Townsville really into that. Bulletin article.
But the point being is like, I don't know if that story has now been misconstrued into people went and fell in the pylons like and then got locked in. Do you know what I mean?
Mel's now done two mysteries involving people falling into pylons.
I have.
This is a real
when
beat
I was Googling this, our other one came up and I was like, that's alarming.
Yeah, it's like a real obsession of yours.
It is. Anyway, that's literally all I have to say about that. There's no real guessing here because we just don't know. Did
we
they or didn't
know.
They at the end?
Did they fall? Didn't they?
Is
Are their hands
ghost?
Sticking out of the museum walls? I hope so.
I had a little fun, zesty story to finish with. Go. Since I've been 40 minutes up here.
Jeez, really?
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I'm sorry. Anyway, so it took the whole, you know how the whole bridge is grey?
Yes.
So that was literally just because the only colour they could get mass amounts of was grey. So we could have like a gold bridge.
Oh, that would have been so fun. Like grey is boring.
Little party bridge.
Yeah.
Every time you went over.
Very
extra. I'd go over it way more. I'd go to the North Shore way more if it was
gold. Yeah, the gold, like the Land of Oz vibes.
Yeah.
Instead it's grey.
Instead it's grey and it takes 30,000 litres of paint to cover it. And the colour is now a registered trademark, so you can't actually paint your house Sydney Harbour Bridge grey.
Damn.
What a shame. I'm fucking pissed off about that.
This is why we'll never buy houses in Sydney. That's the reason.
That's
not because they're $4 million each.
That's me. We're going to send you guys on a whatever it is, what do they call it, interval.
Go and drink.
Where you go and drink. I'm going to go drink too.